Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Download the notes at kcm.org/notes.
We were a church in debt, but we're no longer a church in debt. We're a church that is debt-free, and we're going to a place we've never been to, which is a place of abundance.
Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory. Today, Gloria Copeland and Pastor George Pearsons encourage you to refuse to allow doubt and fear to enter your consciousness when standing on God's Word. Now, let's begin today's prosperity lesson.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory. Pastor George is here with us today, again sharing good things from the Word of God.
That's right, Gloria. We are learning how to get answers to our prayers.
Amen.
And to be more effective about it and to take the necessary faith steps that it takes. And I really believe that if people will study these out and each one of the steps that we're preaching about, and if they dig into it and spend more time into each one, they will really grasp the spirit of faith and what that's all about and what it means. And how do we walk in the spirit of faith?
That's right.
We have spent time talking about preparing ourselves to the place where we ask God for what we're believing for. And let's do this at the top of your page there. Okay. We have all of the steps. step one is decide what you want from God. Step two, locate scriptures that promise you what you want from God. Step three, get those scriptures firmly fixed in your heart. Get them down on the inside. I heard you say one time, quoting a scripture in Matthew, talking about from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Mm-hmm. And I remember the day you were preaching about that, talking about the importance of what you put down in your heart, what you meditate. And you said it this way. You said, from the abundance of your heart, your mouth leaks.
That's right.
So
it speaks or leaks.
It comes out. And so we have to get those scriptures firmly fixed down in our heart.
Amen.
And we do that by meditating on the Word, applying that Word to us personally, what this Word is saying to me. If you're talking about your physical body and you go to in the scripture that talks about in Isaiah 53, talking about Jesus and how He bore my sicknesses and carried my diseases, that has to become real to us.
Yes.
It has to be, we have to drop that down into our hearts, and we do it by meditating on the Word. So by the time you do steps 1, 2, and 3, then it is time to ask God for what you want. Step 4, and believe you receive when you pray. Yesterday's broadcast, I'll tell you, Gloria got into some things that were so powerful about this whole topic right here, about believing you receive, taking it. Faith appropriates, takes what rightfully belongs to it.
That's what receives mean in Greek, that word does.
To take it.
In other words, you don't leave it on the table. When you pray, you take it. It's mine. This healing is mine. I'm taking it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have it.
I remember when Brother Copeland preached about Psalm 23, and he said, set a table before us in the presence of our enemies. And he said, God says the problem is I can't get my kids to come to the table.
Come to the table. That's right.
Don't leave anything on the table.
That's right.
He's wanting to give to us. Well, Gloria, we've done steps 1 through 4, and now steps 5 through 10, we are focusing more on the post-prayer, the post-asking. What do we do? What are some of the things that we do in order to feed our faith, to encourage our faith, to strengthen our faith? And what do we do between the amen and the manifestation? That's where it really gets people. It really gets people, because I remember one time Charles Capps was preaching along these topics, and he said something that really impressed my heart, and that was how foolish it would be for a farmer to go out, and of course he was a farmer, to go out, plant seed, come out the next day, look at it, not see anything, and dig up the seed.
That's right.
That is exactly...
That's exactly what people do.
Exactly what we do when we say, I guess it's not working for me, yeah, or I'm not seeing it, or I guess I need to pray again. Or they pray again and again and again, and they pray it over and over again, and asking for the same thing. There are certain things in the walk of faith that we do that you have taught me. And this is, I'm emphatic about this because I have watched you over all of these years. You and Kenneth have been teaching the body of Christ for 50 years about this.
Has it been that long?
You have been faithful in doing this, Gloria. And one of the things, if someone were to ask me, tell me something that you've learned being with Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, I would have to tell them that they have taught me how to use my faith, how to take a word from God, how to take that word and get it in my heart, yeah, speak it out of my mouth, and walk it out to victory. Mm-hmm. How to take a word, stand on it.
That's right.
That standing part.
Here's a good word for that, persevere.
Yeah. Persevere. That's an excellent word.
You don't
word.
Quit. You don't let go of that word. You stand on that
oh,
word
that's good.
Until it is, you can see it with your eyes.
Yeah.
It has come
yeah,
to
yeah,
pass.
Yeah.
Or you can
yeah.
feel it in your body, know that there's no sickness left.
That's right.
Persevere.
The one of the most crucial times is after you say amen.
That's right.
You have to watch what you say. You have to watch how you think. You have to watch what you do.
That's right.
And because you can get off, you can neutralize the effects of your prayer just mm-hmm. by speaking negative words.
That's right.
You
literally let go of what you believe for.
Exactly. That's a perfect
word,
way to put it.
If you speak the wrong word.
You let it go.
You say, well, yeah, well, you know, that's a lot of trouble. Well, how much trouble is it to die young with cancer or some other sickness and disease that you didn't stand for?
That's right.
You didn't release your faith
that's
for.
Right.
You didn't take it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And or your money situation or whatever, your children.
Sure.
And it just... Faith, you have to be steadfast
that's
in your
right.
faith for it to really take effect.
And that's what we're going to do from this point outward. Now we've prayed the prayer of faith. We released our faith. What do you do now? What are some of the things that you do now? So, according to Brother Hagin, which we're getting this teaching from, and also from Brother Copeland, step number 5, refuse to allow doubt and fear to enter your consciousness.
That's right.
We have to guard our minds.
Just read them quickly again and end up with 5. Decide what you want from God.
Oh, yeah. Decide what you want from God. Locate the scriptures that promise you what you want from God. Get those scriptures firmly fixed in your heart. Ask God for what you want and believe you receive when you pray. And then refuse to allow doubt and fear to enter your consciousness.
Amen. Amen. I want to just add one thing about number 4.
Yeah.
The word receive in the Greek is take.
Take. Okay.
So you take your answer when you pray.
Yep. Take
That's
your
faith.
Answer.
Faith takes the answer when it prays.
You know, I did some study also, Gloria, in that word receive means to take. It means... The study that I've done means to take it with a grip that cannot
yeah.
be shaken.
Oh, that's good, George.
And you and I taught about that when we talked about bulldog faith.
Yeah.
You have to just be real bulldog about it. If you're believing for a house and you've exercised your faith and released your faith and you've got your scriptures in line, then you have to be just like a bulldog and bite down on that house and don't let go of it. I can't tell you how many times that Terry and I have done that. We've had to do that with various things in our lives,
yeah.
that we literally had to bite down on what we were, bite down on the word and hold fast to it because the devil's trying to steal it from us.
That's
his whole deal, to steal
he's
the
a
word.
Thief. Nothing belongs to him. So he's got to try to
yeah.
steal what belongs to you.
That's right.
But we're not going to let him
We're not going to let him do it.
That's right.
So what are some of the things that we must do in this period of time between the amen, the manifestation, that is a crucial time. And I'll tell you something else that the Lord has shown me is that The clock can either be your enemy or your friend. You can watch the clock and you can see time go by, and the longer that clock ticks, the more you're thinking to yourself, it's not working. I guess it's not going to work. I guess it's not going to work. Or you can say, this is a perfect time for me to develop my faith. Yeah. This is a perfect time for me to give thanksgiving to the Lord. This is a perfect time.
That's called holding fast.
Holding fast. That's it. You're absolutely right. Holding fast. And one of the ways we hold fast is by refusing to allow doubt and fear to enter into our consciousness. Right. It says here in 2 Corinthians 10, 5, we are to cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience. And I wrote this in here. This is something.
That's 2 Corinthians 10?
Yeah, 2 Corinthians 10.
That's good.
And this is something that Brother Copeland, when he was preaching one time, I added this in, that he said, having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience of thoughts when your obedience is fulfilled. So what it's telling us there, Gloria, we must, in order to be effective in receiving, we must cast down every high imagination, every word of fear, every word of doubt. Yeah. And the moment that enters into our minds, we have to just cast it down. And many times you'll have to cast it down with your words. No!
Yeah, that's right.
And there have been times, Gloria, when I've been in the midst of praying about something or a situation, and my mind will begin to drift over into the negative. And I have had to say out loud, no, stop.
Yeah. That's right.
You have to do that.
You do.
You have to be aggressive about this, because the devil is aggressive.
Yeah.
He's come.
He's a liar. He's a deceiver.
That's right.
He's a thief. Nothing belongs to him.
Kill, steal, destroy.
He doesn't have anything.
And we have to be aggressive about this. So you have to make a decision and a determination right now.
It's not for wimps.
That's the truth, Gloria.
It is the truth.
It is. And I think that's one of the things that I've learned over all of these years from you. This really is not for wimps. It takes commitment, dedication, and it really does take a boldness of faith to stay with it and not give up.
That's right.
Not quit.
Praise God.
So we have to cast down. And let me just give you a few things that I've learned here in part A. We are to refuse to allow doubt and fear to enter into our consciousness. Yep. Satan works in the arena of suggestions, dreams, visions, and he tries to undermine our faith.
He tries to.
How many times have people even were visions?
Of course, he's a liar. You got to remember that about him.
Yeah, so everything he's saying is a lie.
It's not true.
And people will have a dream at night and wake up panicked in the morning. See, we have to. God does not give nightmares. He doesn't. No, nightmares come out of the pit of hell. They really do. Those horrible things that happen. I'm saying this to people right now who are experiencing these they call them night terrors. Night terrors. Hmm. We had to deal with Eileen, Aubrey's oldest. She used to have these night terrors. And there were times when Aubrey would come to the house with the girls, and Eileen, we had to take Eileen, because she was going through a period of time where she would wake up screaming.
Just a little girl.
Just a little girl. She was probably 2 or 3 at the time. So I remember there was one night that we took Eileen and put her in bed with us. And she would wake up in the middle of the night just screaming and kicking. And Terry and I would lay there and take authority over that devil. Well, she got over it. She sleeps soundly now.
Praise
She's
God.
Fine now. But that's the devil.
Yeah.
And we have to cast down every high imagination, everything in the arena of suggestions and dreams and visions that he tries to undermine your faith with, and tries to stop you from believing and receiving what is rightfully yours. We are the establishing witness. Satan, or doubt, is on one hand saying, you don't have it, you'll never have it, you'll never be able to have it. The word of faith, on the other hand, is saying, you've got it, and you've got
it
now.
Yours.
And it belongs,
yours.
It's yours.
It's yours.
It's yours.
Keep
Take it.
It.
Yeah. What'd you say?
Keep it.
Keep it. Take it and yeah. keep it. I like that, Gloria.
Yeah.
Take it, tape it. And that people struggle too, Gloria, where like their healing is concerned. And there are some people that they'll go into a meeting somewhere and have hands laid on them and receive their healing. And then a week later, they lose it. I mean, it's important. These things apply to that right there. What we're going to talk about from the remainder of this time is how you keep it.
That's right.
How do you keep it, and how do you see the manifestation of it?
That's right.
Well,
yeah, that sounds good.
Refuse to accept anything against you and your receiving.
Amen.
Most will try to talk you out of your stand in faith. Don't let them do it.
That's right.
See, now you get, not only do you have...
That's why Satan is such a liar. Because nothing belongs to him.
Nothing belongs to him.
He doesn't have anything good that belongs to him.
Nope.
So he has to lie and get you to believe his lie.
That's
right. In order to get into your life and steal. What is he? He's a thief. He gets into your life and steals from you. But we don't have to let him
in. We don't have to. Well, that brings us to the next point.
Praise God.
Point B. In James 4:7, it says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you.
Praise God.
You resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now, on that point B on your page, here are just a few thoughts that we wrote down. Many think wrong things and are defeated as a result. And Brother Hagin has said, in order to receive answers to your prayers, you must eradicate every... I can hear his voice.
Oh, yeah.
I can hear his voice saying this. You must eradicate every image, every suggestion.
Dump it.
Dump it.
Get rid of it.
Dump it.
History.
Dump
out.
It. I hear a book title in there somewhere. Dump it.
Dump it.
You've got to eradicate or dump or every image, every suggestion, every vision, every dream, impression, feeling, and all thoughts that do not contribute to your faith and that do not affirm that you have what you have asked from God. Rebuke all thoughts of
Praise
doubt
God.
And fear
yes.
and replace those thoughts with God's Word. And then down here in point five, if you'll guard against every evil thought and think only on those things which affirm that God has heard and answered your prayers, you'll be cooperating with God by faith.
That's right.
So we have to resist the devil. I wrote down in my Bible, Gloria, I did a study one time on the word resist, and it means to stand firm against and to oppose.
Oh,
so we
good.
Resist the devil with our words, devil, I resist you in the
we
name of Jesus.
We should have that in this outline. Do you have it?
I'll put that in there.
Okay, good.
I'll put it in there. Devil, we resist you in the name of Jesus, and you have no authority over my mind or my thinking.
That's right.
And you know, when you resist the devil, one translation says he will flee from you in stark terror.
Yeah.
Stark terror.
You use the name on him.
Yeah, the name.
The name of Jesus.
That's
above every name.
You use the name and you use the blood.
He's got to go.
He's got to go. He's got to go. Here's the last point. We got a couple of minutes left.
Okay.
In Philippians 4, if you look at your last page there, Gloria, Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Well,
have you ever looked that up, be careful? Have you ever looked up careful?
What is it?
I don't know. I haven't looked it up. I thought maybe
The Amplified Bible says, do not fret or have any anxiety about anything.
About anything. That's
so
good. I take that.
Let every thought and desire affirm that you have what you prayed.
Yeah.
Never permit a mental picture of failure to remain in your mind. Of course, you've got these notes that you can refer to again. Once you've asked, never doubt for 1 minute that you have the answer.
That's right.
To get your mind on the answer, you must get your mind on the Word.
That's good.
Constantly affirm that the promises of God are true and that prayer has been answered.
That's good.
And what we want to do right now, Gloria, is we have a magnificent testimony from Pastors Alex and Jane Ashton.
Oh, good.
They're good friends of ours from Wales. And they stood, they believed God, they listened to our teaching on debt freedom, and they are now, their church is now debt free.
Praise God.
Let's take a look. Be encouraged by this testimony.
I'm Pastor Alex. This is Pastor Jane. And we're from the Vine Christian Centre in Bridgend, Wales.
And today we are celebrating because our church is debt free for the first time ever.
Well, we've been partners of the ministry for many years, and I serve on the KCM Europe board. I first heard Brother Copeland teach about owe no man anything but to love him and to get out of debt, but I always thought that was like an ideal, not the norm. Listening to Pastor George and Sister Gloria started to change the way I thought. See, we had been into some debt, but we'd managed the payments. And listening to them, I was challenged to think, no, I can get debt free, that God wants me to get debt free. And so we started to change the way we lived, and we took a personal decision that we were going to get out of debt as a family. Now, initially, I didn't think about it within the context of the church. We had a mortgage in our building, we were paying the note, and I just thought about my own personal debts. I needed to get out of debt. My family needed to get out of debt. God wanted me to be out of debt. God wanted to prosper us. But the church was doing okay. It was paying the note. But two things changed my thinking. The first was the example of EMIC, Eagle Mountain International Church, because I would visit it once a year at the ministers' conference, and I watched how they put up the Student Life Center debt-free. They didn't rush to get a loan. They would go as God provided the money. And it was such an example to me that I thought, look, here's a church that's building debt-free. Then back home, we hit some financial problems. We had taken a mortgage out for 15 years and had presumed that the church would always have the money to pay the note. But suddenly we ran out of money. And we were in the situation where, do we pay the bank or do we pay the pastor? And you know, the Bible says the borrower is the lender's slave, and we paid the bank. And it was a situation where we decided, you know, this isn't right. We need to get the church out of debt. So we made a quality decision that we were going to get this church out of debt as soon as possible. It became our financial priority.
We directed our faith towards God's word on debt freedom, that our church would owe no man anything but love. We put this vision of debt freedom before the church. We increased the church's monthly payment, and as soon as we had sufficient funds in hand, we would pay off extra lump sums from the mortgage. We stood on the word of God and gave thanks. We cleared the mortgage 4 years early, and we can say for the first time in 27 years, we've become a debt-free church.
And we are celebrating as a congregation that we are debt-free. So we just want to celebrate and thank God for what he has done. And we are taking up a second offering this morning which will go to a local charity that helps people with debt counselling so that they can see the principles of being debt-free themselves. So it's going to be an amazing morning. We're going outside and we're going to be burning our mortgage publicly, and we're just going to be thanking the people of this church for their sacrificial giving in helping us as the Vine Christian Centre to be debt-free.
We wanted to burn the mortgage because we wanted to make a memory. When the children of Israel were crossed through the Jordan into the Promised Land, the Lord instructed them to put a memorial up of 12 stones to remember where they've come from. And we wanted to do that for our church. We wanted to create this memory. We were a church in debt, but we're no longer a church in debt. We're a church that is debt-free, and we're going to a place we've never been to, which is a place of abundance. And so we are looking for God to prosper our people, to bring them from debt into debt freedom so that they can be a blessing to the world. There is hope for anyone who trusts in Jesus to become debt free. This isn't for just the Brother Copelands and Sister Glorias of this world. This is for all of us. God's will is for you to be debt free. So the hope is in the Word. And what I would encourage you to do is get in the Word. Meditate on the Word. Meditate on the fact that God is your source. Go to the KCM website. Download materials that will help you, because if you can change the way you think about God's will, you can believe God to become debt-free. We want to thank Kenneth Copeland Ministries, Brother Copeland, Sister Gloria, for teaching faith, to teach us that it's God's will for us to be debt-free, that we should owe no man anything but to love. And Pastors George and Terry Pearsons and the congregation of Eagle Mountain International Church, who show us what a debt-free church looks like. God bless you. Thank you. We are debt-free. Hallelujah.